Welcome to the table. Sunday Spread, your one-stop shop for NFL news, hot takes, and weekly bets, where we break bread and everybody eats. My name is Brian Bracey, and I'm here with my boy, Mr. Watson. What's good, Watts?
What's the guan, my ute?
Wagwan.
Hey, we're getting there, baby.
We're getting there somewhere. I had a little, there was like a second pause. I'm like, what do I say?
But you was on point, though. You know what I mean? I like it. We're getting there. Nah, man, I'm good. I can't complain, you know? Life is lifing, but we're trying to be more in control of the things we can control.
And facts.
Let life control the rest.
I like that. I like that. Because life do be lifing.
Life be lifing.
It's continuing to life. Like, it ain't stopped. If you notice, we didn't record last week.
Right.
So life is continuing to life.
Yeah, I'm sure as the listeners as well, they can attest, you know, life be lifing.
I've actually talked to a few people, and they're like, that's like their new saying. Life be life, and they're like, yeah, Mr. Watson got me on that. Life be life, and
it really do, man, because it encompasses everything.
Nah, for real, like in every aspect,
the good,
the good, the bad, the ugly, no matter what. So yeah, life be life, and it be like that.
Oh, like, I'm up right now. Life be life,
life be life, and
oh damn, it's bad right now.
Right,
life be life.
I'm homeless. Life be life, and
even in the middle.
Nah, yeah.
So
it's always lifing. There's all the types of different angles.
About to make a shirt. Life be lifing.
You should. Yo, my wife's been making shirts.
LBF, son.
LBF, son.
Throw it up. LBF.
LBF. Big L's in the chat.
Big L's in the chat, fellas. Big L's. No.
That's hilarious.
Good stuff.
But yeah, man.
Football was footballing this past weekend.
Yeah, That was a great weekend of football.
It really was. Like, just as a pure football fan, it was, like, excellent football.
Yeah.
Like, both games.
Yeah.
Can't ask for anything more as far as, like, granted, drama.
I feel like Sunday was better than Saturday. That was Eagles, Rams, and what was it? Oh, Bills, Ravens. That was phenomenal.
That was football.
Yeah. Like, that's playoff. Like, you got snow.
Sunday?
Yep. It was, oh, man, that was football.
Excellent.
But, like, Saturday was good, too. Like, you got Mahomes and the Chiefs going against the Texans and that whole ref nonsense that everybody's going in on.
It's a thing. I mean, and then you got the Commandies just
taking down the Lions. Did not see
them.
That coming.
Boat racing them. Honestly, when they beat the Bucks, I thought to myself, they're going to beat Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone had the thought. At least I had the thought, but I was just like, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I think their train's going to stop here. It might be a shootout, but at the end of the day, the Lions are going to win. But then Jared Goff looked like Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Well, he looked like Sam Darnold, but he looked like the Jared Goff that we were used to at the end of his, like, Rams run.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, oh, you are good for one or two of those a season.
Oh, when the scheme isn't perfectly schemed up.
Right.
You are an average quarterback.
Right.
Oh, pressure does affect you in more than just about every other quarterback in the league.
Yep.
And then Luvu blasted him.
Yeah.
Like, he...
Yeah, that block was crazy.
Like, even they called in the ref, like, hey, ref, what do you think about that hit? He was like, that was a penalty.
Killed him,
so, Luvu, I mean, I seen a little montage. He's been killing people this whole season. So, it's like, I don't want to, like, I liked Luvu. I wanted him, like, going into the offseason, like, you know, free agency stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be mad at it, you know? So you need people on your team that are willing to crash out. I was literally telling my boy, you got to have crash outs on the team.
Yeah. You have to.
Football, you have to have some people that are just...
You have to have a dude on the team who does not care if he lives or dies after the game. Like, he's just like, if I have an opportunity to kill someone out here, I will do it.
It was like that Texans guy, the one that celebrated after the fumble and everyone thought he, like, spazzed out on his coach.
Yeah.
I think it was misinterpreted. I think he thought that he forced the fumble.
I think he thought they had the ball.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah,
so
I threw
his helmet, pushed his coach, like, yeah, son, that's what we fucking do.
Right. Trying to set the tone.
Coach is like, whoa, bro.
Right.
Bro, relax. You just got us a penalty and we don't have the ball.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, every team needs a crash out.
Got to have a crash out. Because I think I brought it up because Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is our crash out. He's like 230, but he's going against linemen like he's 300 with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took out the Green Bay Packers guard he was pulling and
cleaned him.
Like, I mean, they met and the dude left with like a stinger, but he ain't come back.
He ain't come
and
back.
And Nolan let him know that he was like, ah,
And so, and then this game, he was crashing out. There was a time where Jalen Carter told him to, like, on a like a stunt.
Yeah,
he told him to crash in. And you know what I'm saying? So he knows. They all know. Nolan's the dude.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's probably the problem with the Cowboys. Nah, think about it. We don't have any crash outs.
Overshown's kind of crash outy.
I mean,
but he's too small.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he's just out there flying around. But then he got hurt.
He crashes out.
He just gets hurt. Yeah,
we have like how many defensive crash outs? We got two. I think Charlie Garner Johnson is definitely a crash out.
I mean, Donovan Wilson, he be wilding too. Now that I think about it, yeah.
But you need the crash out to be a serviceable crash out. You can't just be just out there crashing out.
Right.
Like, hindering the team. Like,
yeah, nah. Like, if Donovan Wilson was actually good, it'd be like, all right, cool. You got him and Overshown. Overshown's a dog, but he gets hurt too much. We don't have to talk about the Cowboys.
He said we don't got it.
I mean, we can.
What are you guys doing over there? Don't you guys have head coaching aspirations?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's out, man.
Sent him packing. Oh, no, his contract.
Yeah, his contract was up. They tried to work something out, but mutually we're like, yeah, nah, this ain't it.
As it should have been.
They're talking about bringing in Deion.
Not to cut you off. As you mentioned, you should have kept Quinn.
Yeah. Definitely should have got rid of McCarthy last year and just promoted Quinn, which I'm sure was the plan. But then in the playoffs, when we completely ished the bed against the Packers, I think Jerry Jones was just like, we're going to move on from him and we'll keep Mike because I don't think Mike is the problem.
And that's where he messed up.
Yeah. And now look at him. And Quinn's then look at Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's OC for y'all. He's in conference championship.
I got my beefs with Kellen Moore. We can get to that when
I told you.
You
about
did.
It.
Yeah. 100%
told
you
I was going to go down.
He's like, he gets too cute. He gets way too cute, bro. Yep. You need to relax.
He was a quarterback for Boise State who broke records. He wants to be cute.
He's like, bro, tone it down, man.
Yeah.
I don't think I
spoke about it on the show. Because we didn't have an episode last week, and I believe that's when the news came out that the Cowboys were looking at Deion as the next head coach of the Cowboys.
You mentioned it on the show.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay.
You were basically speaking into fruition type thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Deion, I grew up. The only reason why I'm a Cowboys fan is because of Deion Sanders. I remember it was 1998, Monday Night Football. Cowboys were playing the Giants, and Deion ran back a punt, ran back a pick, completely took over the game. And that was my first real understanding of football. And I was just like, whoever that guy is, that's what I want to be. And I remember just high-stepping all the time, around the house, because that's what Deion did. So I've been a Cowboys fan ever since. And it would be a dream come true to see Deion Sanders as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Do I think it's a good idea? No. Do I think he would win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But at least we'd be entertaining. At least for me personally, it's we're the Cowboys and our head coach is Deion Sanders. This is going to be extremely entertaining.
At minimum.
Right.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Exactly. And it's we already suck. We're not winning nothing now. So it's at least be fun to watch when we do it.
I don't know, man. The way the Commanders literally went from drafting second in the league to...
You're not wrong. It's just I have no faith in Jerry Jones.
And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, I think Jerry Jones will continue to control the team. He's going to continue to sign guys, coaches who will just do whatever he says, which is why that brings me to the next thing I'm going to say is we're about to hire Brian Schottenheimer, who was the offensive coordinator for the last few years or the last couple years. He didn't even call the plays. He's not even the play caller. Why is he about to be our head coach?
Running the team.
Running the whole team.
Running the circus.
Yes.
He's the guy with the whip and the hat.
Right. why are we about to hire him? And Aaron Glenn just got picked up by the Jets. Ben Johnson went to the Bears. So it's what else are we going to do? Vrabel went to the Patriots. I would much rather have Deion right now.
There's
take Jimmy Johnson.
Spots left, too.
Right.
We didn't do no homework to look up that, but there's four head coaching jobs left?
I think the Jags are still open. I think the Jags just fired their GM, too. I saw that before I got in here.
I seen that they were looking at the Jets interim head coach as their head coach. That's an interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. honestly, I feel like there was a handful of guys you had Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Mike Vrabel. I feel like those were the three that were they're going to get the best jobs out there.
Right.
And after that, it's kind of I could see the Cowboys going after Kellen Moore. Once you guys finish your run, whatever that is.
Yeah. I mean, I said, I would like to keep Kellen Moore for continuity purposes. but I've have my gripes with the with the with the way he coordinates.
Yeah,
basically.
I don't even see him being a good head coach.
I don't either.
Like
him talking at the podium during his OC press conferences are not anything.
Yeah.
You think this guy screams head coach.
Yeah. He honestly, I think he's young, so he has that young like
shine to him.
Yeah, that young shine to him. Like it's just like, oh, this guy's young. We could build around this guy. We could build him up.
There's some veteran OCs.
Yeah. Like he's had a really good run as an OC, so it's time for him to be a head coach. And it's just like, I don't see grown men following Kellen Moore. Like, I don't know. I'm not an NFL player, but I'd assume like if you feel as a player you can beat up your head coach, you're not gonna respect him. And I feel like everyone in the locker room is like, I will beat up Kellen Moore.
I mean, I don't think it's always a physical thing, but
I mean,
it's like you look at him and it's just like, what does he inspire in you?
Right.
You're just talking football and he's Kellen Moore.
Right.
Like, what more do you add to it?
Like, I'm sure when players look at Mike Tomlin, they're like, yo, if we got into a fight, like, I'm gonna win, but we gonna squabble.
Right.
Dan Campbell, we gonna squabble. Like, Kellen Moore, nah, I'm beating the mess out that boy.
Or if you're going out with them and it's like you and the fellas.
Right.
What is Kellen Moore doing if she hit the fan?
Right.
He's probably calling the cops, which is useful. But at the moment, that's right. Not what we need right now.
Useful
we
until need the hands. His players have guns on them that aren't registered. Now your players are going to jail.
We need hands. Tomlin will throw hands.
Right.
Campbell will throw hands. Kellen Moore is calling the police.
100%.
Helpful. Thank you, sir.
100%.
Not get in the pit. But nah. Yeah. Who knows? You guys are definitely a conundrum. And I was talking to one of my coworkers about the whole fact that you need it's all on Jerry Jones at this point. Like,
yeah,
the son needs to take over, but Jerry Jones' ego is too inflated at this point.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's nothing else besides being the Cowboys owner.
Right. Nah, legit. Like, it's just like once you take that away, take the GM, take the owner away from him, he's just going to be like, I'm just a really rich, racist white man.
Yep. Watching my children run the team
right.
that I built, not right. Peyton.
Right. Like, even Dez Bryant came out and was like, yo, we got to stop the nepotism. Like, Jerry Jones needs to step away. Like, we need to really build this team for real to win games. Like, Jerry has done an amazing job of building a brand where the Cowboys are and will continue to be probably for the rest of time the number one sports franchise in the world. But it's like, you're not winning Super Bowls. You're not winning games. So it's like, what's the point? Like, they got to switch something up. We gotta win, man. Every year, I just be like, why am I a fan? Like, why do I do this to myself every time? And I watch the Commanders going from the second pick in the draft to they are one upset away from making it to the Super Bowl. Crazy. And having a starting rookie quarterback, the very first starting rookie quarterback to ever be in a Super Bowl.
Crazy.
And then you got the Eagles where it's like,
we can't allow that.
No, you definitely can't. No, you definitely can't. You definitely can't. But like, even like looking at the Eagles, y'all were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Y'all didn't crumble. You continued to build around that, build from the foundation. Right. And then just like, yo, we're going to go right back at it. We're going to figure this out. And look at you. You're one game away from being in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs. Yes, they got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but it's like they've lost so much around that they continue to build. They're one game away. It's like, yo, what are the Cowboys doing? Josh Allen. Josh Allen lost everything, and his best receiver is Shakur, whatever. I don't even know his first name. But right. He's their best receiver, and he's one game away from the Super Bowl. What are we doing, Jerry? What are we doing?
I don't know.
This isn't a Cowboys podcast, but...
Well, we got to get it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The NFC is about to the NFC East is about to represent the Super Bowl.
You're not wrong.
So we got to get it out.
Which is a wild... As a Cowboys fan, it's a wild thing to go through. It's like... It's like the only thing that would make this worse is if the Giants had the first pick. Because then it'll just be like, bro.
Triple whammy.
Right.
It's a triple crown.
Right. The triple crown.
Oh, man. Nah. Yeah. Who would have thought the Commanders?
Oh, man. That argument we were getting into with people on Facebook, bro. And they're like, what do you mean? The Commanders have a crazy roster.
Oh, my God.
They're stacked. Since when?
Bro, my friend Will, who's a Commanders, the only real Commanders fan I know, hit me up and was basically like, yo, Watson, I appreciate you, like, standing up to these people. Because what were they talking about? No one was talking about the Commanders. This is all Jaden Daniels. Stop all the extras.
Right.
Like, you brought in Lattimore. Cool. You brought in the Wagners and the Louvus, and your D-line has always been solid. These are dogs. Absolutely. But like I told Ben that doesn't make you a good team automatically. Right. It doesn't make you. People were saying they were on the post saying that they're a great team.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Saying they're stacked. Their roster is stacked. I'm like,
when? Receivers are one guy, McLaurin. De'Ami Brown, if you are a draft nerd, you know who De'Ami Brown is, right. But he hasn't done anything in the league.
Nothing.
Zacchaeus is a fourth receiver who was our fourth receiver last year. Like, Zach Ertz was, you know what I'm saying, cast it off.
Yeah.
This is all Jaden Daniels being above and beyond anything anyone could have expected.
For sure. And the fact that people, like, even, like, speaking of BEMNET, we already spoke about, like, his arguments where, like, they never actually make sense. They're never, like, in the same realm of what we're talking about. But I'm like, name these stars that you're talking about. He's like, Bobby Wagner. I said, okay, you got Bobby Wagner, you got John 40. Payne, you got Jaden Daniels, and you got Scary Terry. Name the other stars. And then he just, like, completely just changed the argument to something completely different. He's like, well, remember that time you were wrong? What are we talking about?
Like, or bringing up future stuff. It's like, right. None of that matters.
He said, wait till next year. We're talking about right now. Like, you brought up Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is a dog, but he's past his prime.
Right.
Austin Eckler was a dog past his prime. Like, they brought in all these guys, even Lattimore, past his prime. Like, and they brought him in midway through the season, and he hasn't played well. He could not stop Mike Evans for nothing. Like, Mike Evans was tearing him up. But it's
did
just,
I last week, but yeah. At that point, you gave up 31, though, so who?
Right. His peak was his rookie year. When he won rookie of the year, we're like, oh, my God, this guy's a shutdown corner, and then it just slowly went down from there.
Yeah. And he's solid, but, like, as a whole, you can probably count on – you don't need more than 10 fingers to count how many quote-unquote dogs they have.
Right.
And so that doesn't equate a great team. It's yeah. Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
It's and Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Dan Quinn created a culture, which he always does, that will succeed, makes guys have fun out there. They're enjoying playing football, and you have Jaden Daniels. If you have a quarterback like that when and you're in the locker room, it's like, yo, we're going to run through a wall for that guy. That's what's happening in Washington.
You got a quarterback and you got a head coach.
Yeah.
That's the formula.
Yeah. Look at the Chiefs.
That's the formula.
You find a guy that you're like, y'all run through a wall for these two, you'll be all right. You'll figure it out.
With that being said, I mean, people like to ask, like, what does Sirianni do? I think a part of what he does is the things that we can't quantify
right.
Behind the scenes. Like, there was an article that came out. I don't know who did it. I can't give him credit, but shout out to you. He basically did some, like, deep diving into some of the things that Sirianni actually does. And, like, some of the players talked about, like, he's, like, handwritten a bunch of dudes different letters and things of that nature and, like, checks in with dudes on, like, things that they didn't even know he even knew and things right. Of that nature. So it's, like, it's bigger than football sometimes. And so right. If you could be a leader of men and you tap into that human nature,
yeah.
Now they're willing to run through a wall for you.
Yeah.
And so, like, people on Sirianni all the time to this day, and they ask, what does he do? He wins games.
He does.
Same thing with Jalen Hurts.
I knew he was going to say that.
You know it was coming, baby. You know it was coming. You got to go full circle.
Gonna say that.
They just win games, baby. If we sitting here asking, why doesn't it look like this? Why doesn't it look like that? Why aren't we talking about why that the fact they just won the game?
Right.
That should be the overarching. Then we could talk about the minutia, but y'all not overarching enough.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Like, after that game, like, I guess we'll get into last week, the Eagles game, like, I saw, like, on social media, a lot of people just saying, like, oh, well, Jalen Hurts didn't do this, and Jalen Hurts didn't. And it's like, honestly, like, I hear you, like, as an Eagles hater, but it's also like, yo, he doesn't have to. Like, he's doing enough to win games. Like, if I'm the quarterback and I have Saquon Barkley as my running back and all I have to do is turn around and hand him the ball all game, I'm going to do that if we're going to win games. If I'm going to rely on my number one defense and my number one offensive line and my number one running back, why does that make Jalen Hurts bad? Like, I think my whole argument was always Jalen Hurts is not elite.
Yes.
And I think most Eagles fans and most people, unless you're the delusional, you can agree, like, yeah, he's not an elite quarterback. Like, he's not one of them, but he's good. He will win you games.
You can be a limited quarterback and still be good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And I feel like there's too much black and white, or it's almost like we're basically saying he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl because he's a limited quarterback.
Right.
That's not the case. Because we've seen him go toe-to-toe in the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And put up arguably the best quarterback performance we've ever seen.
Right.
And so for people to still sit there asking about, we need to see it. Yes, we would all love to see it more consistently. But that's not him.
Right.
He's not a consistent thrower of the football.
You also lose when he does. Like, when you have to make him throw 40, 50 times a game, odds are you're losing.
I mean, the goal would for us to be like, you throw it 25 to 30 times and he's just more efficient with it.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And so if we can get better with that, that would be ideal. And then something that I thought to myself earlier, like the Packers game arguably was not good because he threw 3 touchdowns, threw 2 picks. But as far as him throwing the ball, I feel like that was potentially the best he's looked all season, just throwing the football. Mm-hmm. Like he had confidence out there as far as like making checks and throwing slants and throwing the deep ball, throwing the right. wheel route. He threw at least 7-8 different routes that game. I haven't seen it since. So I put that on Jalen and the offensive staff. Mm-hmm. What's going on over there? What are you guys scheming up? I understand Saquon is doing what Saquon does. But if you don't create the complimentary football off of that, just the off chance that Saquon doesn't carry us like he couldn't right. do against the Buccaneers, like he couldn't do against the Falcons, mm-hmm. then what? Got to be able to make these passes.
Yeah.
And so I do understand that. He's a limited passer of the football. I think we can all agree on that, like you said.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, when you run into a certain team and they are able to contain Saquon, because you're not going to stop him.
No.
Like, it's like, all right, let's contain him. Let's keep him under 120 yards. No big runs. Make him have to pound the ball. Like, make him average 4 yards a carry, but he's not getting anything over 8 all game. Yeah. When you figure that out, then it's like, all right, Jalen, we need you to carry us. If you're playing a team like the Chiefs, like, it's too late for that. Like, Patrick Mahomes knows how to control a game. Like, or if you're playing, I don't know. Honestly, I think the only team that can beat you are the Chiefs, to be honest.
I mean, all the teams remaining in the playoffs, we've beat them within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not concerned in that regards. We have the ability to beat any of the remaining teams. But as we're currently constructed with Jalen and the potential knee situation, that's my biggest concern. Mm-hmm. If he's hampered with a knee situation, but he still plays, that's not ideal. Because if he's not mobile,
right
now we're, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You make him to a pocket quarterback, you kind of...
You just put the... you gave the keys to the defense. Like, yeah. There you go.
Right.
You just hope that Jalen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, like, the teams that are left, they can put up numbers. Because, like, although, like, people will say, like, well, the Chiefs never put up numbers. If Patrick Mahomes has to put up numbers, he's going to put up numbers. Like, Josh Allen has put up numbers all year. And Jaden Daniels, same thing.
Yeah.
So...
And, like, we haven't really had too many crazy offensive output games like that, and that typically lands on the quarterback. But, again, I think that lands on the quarterback and the OC.
Right.
I have my issues with Kellen Moore. Like, I feel like they've given him the keys as far as, like, you know, put it together. It's a collective situation to put the game plan together and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. calling the plays in the moment, that's typically on him.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like we already mentioned, he gets way too cute.
Yeah.
And, like, he has decent moments of, like, good play sequencing and, like, things of that nature. But it's like, I feel like we don't do enough of what we're good at in the mm-hmm. passing game. A lot of it is just, like, I don't know. Like, more mesh concepts, more deep overs and things of that nature.
Right.
We threw a couple picks earlier in the season. We just stopped going them. But we also threw some deep passes to Devontae. So it's like,
right.
you got to take the good with the bad. But if you don't rep it, then what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, put Jalen Hurts in situations that he can succeed in. Like, have him roll out. He does really well when he rolls out because you cut off half the field. So it's like, all right, you only have to make these two reads or run
right.
or throw it out. Like, and there was a couple times in this game against the Rams where they did that. They had him roll out left, had him roll out right. And
it worked.
Yeah, it worked perfectly.
Except for that
first
one
downs.
Time he got too cute.
Yeah.
Late in the game when we're trying to run out the clock, it's 2nd and 9 and you do a naked boot to the left. Like, no. After Jalen got hurt.
Right.
That was like a no. Come on. Come on. What's his name? Moore.
Yeah. Kellen Moore.
Your boy.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
He's about to spin the block.
He might.
Oh. It's him or Schottenheimer, which is crazy.
Right. Which is nuts, bro. Like, Brian Schottenheimer. That makes me so angry.
Bringing back Marty Ball.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing.
Shout out Marty Schottenheimer.
That's neither
here
nor
there.
They did
him dirty.
I do want to talk about, well, I guess let's talk about that Chiefs-Texans game.
All right, what's up?
What are your thoughts on that?
How
do you feel the refs did? Because honestly, it's not even like, oh, Chiefs-Texans, how did the game go? The game went how we expected it to go.
Yeah.
The Chiefs controlled the game, the entire game. The more, like, talking points of that game were the refs.
So my thing, not the overarching thing, but one of the first things that came to mind is I appreciate Buck and Aikman's willingness to
facts
call out the nonsense.
Facts.
Because sometimes it just be nonsense. Mm-hmm. And it's fine if it's inconsistent, but it's got to be inconsistent across the board.
Right.
It can't just be so visibly inconsistent for them.
Yeah.
Like, I posted a montage of other quarterbacks in similar situations. I'm not saying they were penalties. Maybe they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do what you're doing for the Chiefs and Mahomes and quarterbacks, it's got to be across the board.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes goes near the sideline and you touch him, it's a flag.
Oh,
but
man.
I've seen Lamar getting thrown to the benches. I've seen Jalen right. get thrown to the benches. So yeah. it's like.
What was I about to say? Patrick Mahomes. Oh, that when he went to the sideline and got pushed and he just like flopped. And it was like, bro, that's so obvious.
Yeah.
Like.
And if they would have got that, that would have been awful.
Right.
But that's kind of the stuff that he likes to toy with. There was that time where he slid late. You can't, like.
Yeah.
Literally. Pickett had a very similar situation against the Redskins. It was like third and something. He broke free. He was running, slid kind of late, but they still hit him. They didn't mm-hmm. call the flag because they basically said that he slid late. And the announcer, it was Greg Olsen. He was awful that day. He was basically saying, oh, he didn't get hit in the head. That's not a penalty. He slid and the dude hit him. That is a penalty.
Right.
And so they threw the flag, but they eventually picked it up. It was ridiculous. But Mahomes did the same thing and they threw the penalty. And so it's like, you guys got to be consistent with it.
And he didn't even get hit.
He did it. They hit each other.
Yeah. Like, when I first saw it in real time, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to throw that flag. It looks like helmet to helmet. But when they showed it from a different angle and in slow-mo, I was like, he didn't even get touched. Like, they hit each other.
He slid under it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, honestly, this feels like.
Very Patriot-esque.
Yes, it feels like the Patriots and Tom Brady all over again, which I think is hilarious when Patriots fans are complaining about it on Facebook or wherever, and they're like, this is so stupid. The league is so soft now. And it's like, bro, where you think this started? This started with you. Like, this started when Tom Brady tore his ACL because someone tackled him low, and now everything is a roughing the passer. Like, it started because of Tom Brady. Right. So, like, I think it's hilarious that Patriots fans and Tom Brady fans already hate Patrick Mahomes. I saw, like, a post where it was like, everyone should be thanking Tom Brady because he was the only person that could beat Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, shut up. Shut. This is you trying to build your claim because you know Patrick Mahomes is on that ass.
He's on it.
He's about to be the GOAT. If he wins this year, he has a very good argument.
He's already like tied or just past Montana for like second most playoff wins ever.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like, he's
only person ahead of him is Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, about if every playoff
record. If he finishes career and continues to go on this trajectory, he would easily be the GOAT. He doesn't need seven. If he gets five, he's the GOAT. I don't care if he doesn't have seven.
Because you got to think, there's going to be a point in time where he's older and he's on a team that he's not getting paid the money, but
right.
it's the loaded team, like the Aaron Rodgers, the Peyton Mannings, like they eventually, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They're eventually going to flip ships, go to a team that's loaded. They're the old head. And you know what I'm saying? So Mahomes is going to flirt with, like you said, five. He's going to flirt with
easily.
Five.
If he wins this year, he has four.
Oh, my God.
Three in a row.
I already called it, though. My aunt's been on my back talking junk, but I screamed it, I think, in Thanksgiving. I said, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, playing the Chiefs, and we're getting our blood. Similar to what we did against the Patriots. We spun the block and got our blood. This is that time. We're spinning the block, getting blood.
I mean, I respect it. You've been putting that out in the atmosphere for a while. I respect it.
Had to put it on the airways, man. Got to put it on wax, baby.
I respect it. Do I think that's going to happen? Nope.
Yeah.
I think you guys are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Little preview of our picks, but I think Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, I think the Chiefs win. Last minute drive.
Oh, my God. Nope. Defense is better this year. It
doesn't matter. That's the thing. That's the storyline.
Mm.
It's Patrick Mahomes versus the best defense in the league, and then when it counts the most, he's going to score.
I mean, the funny thing that you brought that up, we lost, three games this season? But two of them were in similar fashion to what the Rams almost did to us. Late game, we had a chance to close the game. We did not. They have a chance to drive the game and beat us because we have six or five or whatever the hell the reason is.
Yep.
And they have enough time to drive us and beat us. The Falcons did it.
Yep.
And the Commanders did it.
Yep.
And so I'm like, damn, this is about to happen.
And you know what? When this happens in the Super Bowl, right? The Chiefs do it. You know what you're going to say on the next episode? You're like, first, once you realize everything and it all sinks in and you take off your fandom hat and you put your football hat on, you're going to come in here and you're going to say, Bracey, it's because our defense is so young. I promise you. That's what you're going to say. You're going to be like, the games we lost were because in the last few minutes, our team was too young and they pissed down their leg.
Yes, I can see that, honestly. I can see that. And the thing about the Fangio defense is everyone knows it. So it's all about beating it. And you, everyone, there's buttons you can push to, you know what I'm saying, right, beat the Fangio defense. And so if your quarterback's good enough to get to those spots, then typically in late-game situations, you can still get to those spots.
Right.
But I agree with what you're saying. I feel like the biggest X factor for us as a team defensively is Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
This dude is a single-man wrecking crew, bro. Wrecking crew. Like, watching film heads break down what he did or what he's been doing all season, mm-hmm, it's like he might be the best tackle in the league right now.
I mean, who's in front of him?
You're giving Chris Jones his respect for being Chris Jones, but like,
but even so, like, does Chris Jones truly play D tackle anymore? Like, I feel like he's like, he's on the end. Yeah, he's everywhere on
he's
the
a
line.
Hybrid.
And like, Aaron Donald's gone. D tackle is, it's rarely ever this like premier position where it's like, yeah, there's a bunch of dudes at this position that are nasty. Like, it was like Warren Sapp, then Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, Jalen Carter. Like, each generation, like, it's one guy, and they're better than everyone else.
Couple of sprinkling in guys, but yeah, that's low-key the premise. And I think it's Jalen Carter's turn, man, because he single-handedly won us that game.
Yeah, he went off.
Because the last drive, they're driving. The last two plays of the game, he put the team on his back. Because I'm sure you people have seen the video of them breaking it down on that third down sack. There was a dude breaking wide open. The tight end, he hit the corner with the corner slipped. Safety's in the end zone. So at minimum, he's getting to like the five. Right. But he's getting to like the three, arguably a touchdown. Jalen Carter saved the season. Like,
yeah, when I saw that clip of him, like, telling Nolan Smith, like, basically, like, crash in so I can do, like, it's like, when it works so perfectly, it's like, all right, he's on to something.
That's the underrated aspect about Jalen Carter. Like, his football IQ is low-key underrated. Like, he's a man boy. He's out there doing grown men dirty. But I learned more so this season, like, how much he actually, like, watches film and, like, breaks down football. And, like, the fact that he's, like, he leads our team in forced fumbles. That's just him just, you know what I'm saying? Just knowing football, being in great position to just do stuff. He leads our team in batted passes.
Yeah, didn't he punch out the Kyren Williams?
Yeah, and that was after the safety. He literally saved the game, bro. We gave up a safety. We're up one? I think we were up one.
Yep.
And yeah, they're driving. Then it goes to the fourth quarter. The opening play of the fourth quarter, punch out.
Yeah. That was, because honestly, at one, when the safety happened, I was like, they about to choke this game away, bro. Like, I think I even went on Facebook and was like, Eagles fraud? Like, what's about to happen?
That,
like,
sick
I was like, are they a fraud? Like, sick what is
bastard.
About to happen right now?
Bro, I'm pretty sure every single Eagles fan in the world felt once Saquon broke that touchdown, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Every single one of us. I know it because I felt it, and a couple of podcasts I listened to mentioned it. Mm-hmm. We all felt it. And for them to drive down in 10 plays, a minute 47, I remember the dots. I'm like, we're about to smoke this game. Yep. This is exactly how we lose it.
Nah, I was watching like, yo, they're really about to choke this away,
oh my
bro.
God.
And I was like, who would have thought? Rams Commanders NFC Championship game.
So much emotions. So much emotions.
Y'all pulled it out, as y'all should.
Found a way. We found a way. It was a snowstorm, man. At that point, it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
It comes down to who can just make enough plays.
I guess Saquon hit up LeSean McCoy and was like, yo, what's the secret? How do I perform in the snow?
He actually did say that he hit up LeSean McCoy.
And like, LeSean McCoy texted him, told him all the things that he did, and then texted the equipment managers and was like, make sure he gets this.
Yeah. I think it was something about like changing cleats at halftime and certain cleats at halftime once it's actually like snow on the ground type.
Uh-huh.
You seen him and McCoy and Aaron Donald bet 50 bands?
Nah.
They bet 50 bands on the game. Must be nice.
Right. That's when you know Aaron Donald has a lot more money than LeSean McCoy. Because I'm sure Aaron Donald was like, yeah, it's whatever. And LeSean McCoy was like, please, God, Eagles, you better win, bro.
It must be nice in general, though, just to be like, yeah, 50 bands.
Right.
If you can lose 50 bands and you just gain 100,
right,
like, I don't got 50 bands to play with. I don't got $50 to play with.
Nah, for real. For real. I'd be putting 50 cents on parlays.
You know what I'm saying? Heavy legs.
Yeah, but speaking of the guys y'all going to play, Commanders and Lions. I mean, we spoke a little bit about the Commanders already, but I guess we could talk about the Lions meltdown. I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't. Like
the
I
defense,
said earlier.
It
like,
caught up to them. Yeah. Like, all these injuries on defense. It gets to a point. Backups on backups. There was one dude who broke his arm during the game, the backup corner.
Very early. I think that might have been like the first play or something. Early on in the game.
So it just gets to a point where you can only patch up so many leaks.
Right. And they already had like a defense that wasn't like dominant. They were just like, they're out there making plays.
Some of their parts.
Yeah. It was very Dan Quinn-esque of a defense where it's like, you might not have the star power, but they're going to make plays.
And yeah, I think, one or two guys that are actually like on the cusp or actually like that. Like Hutchinson was like that.
Right.
And Branch
Branch is like that.
And so you got two guys that are like that and everyone else just sum it up.
Right. It's like, yo, just go out there. I don't care. Bend, don't break.
Fly around.
Yeah. Fly around. Create turnovers.
Put your body on the line. Crash out.
Yep. Right. Go out there and kill somebody. And if you can't, take the ball away from them. Yeah. Like, yeah, the Lions, I don't. They might have reached their ceiling.
Yeah, they just lost both their OCs.
Yeah.
So now
Ben
you're going to see.
Johnson's gone. Aaron Glenn's gone.
You're
going
to see what the downsides of success are.
Yep.
Congrats, Detroit.
Yep. Because you're drafting late. You don't got the money because you paid all the guys you have.
You're losing a lot of your brain trust because Dan Campbell's not the, the X's and O's guy.
Right. He's the motivator.
So who you bringing in? What they about to do? It's going to be a world of a machine like it's always been.
Right.
It's going to be an adjusting period. It has to be.
Is Jared Goff's going to go back to being Jared Goff?
You would assume, unless they bring in a system that's just, again, really well suited to him. But who knows? They got, you know, the pieces.
Mm-hmm. But my God, like watching the Lions, some of the plays that Ben Johnson would come up with, I'm just like.
Like that shovel.
Yo.
That was fire.
I'm like, no wonder Jared Goff looks like this, bro. His play calling is insane.
That was fire. Or that fake fumble.
Yeah.
Like you're falling. Like, yeah, nah.
Yeah. Ben Johnson's next level, bro.
Nah, for sure. Because that handoff pitch play, like, how are you ready for that?
Never would have thought of
that. No one would be.
Not even in flag football would I have thought of that.
That's what I'm saying.
And if I did, I feel like I would explain it in the huddle and everybody would be like, what?
That's an
excellent
play.
Bro, just hand it off. Like,
an excellent play.
Yeah, nah, that's crazy. Yeah, but yeah, I think the Lions might have reached their peak.
And their division is hell.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Vikings they definitely overachieved.
For sure.
So it's like, congrats, you had a good season now.
But the Packers are on their way up. And the Bears, most likely with Ben Johnson, are on their way up. So the Lions could very easily be that 49ers team where they missed their Super Bowl window. Even though 49ers windows seem to be open much longer than the Lions. But the Lions could easily go back to being Detroit Lions, like as we know.
100%, because their division was hell. The Packers, for example, literally only lost, five games? They lost two to Detroit. Two to the Vikings and one to us.
Yeah,
they lost six games all season. Two to us, two to the Packers, two to
crazy.
The That's crazy. So
they're like, we're better than everyone else but them.
So I mean, good luck next season as the Lions, because now again you're the number one in the conference. You get one against the number ones in the other divisions and all that comes with it.
Yep. Yeah, the schedule's only going
to
get harder.
Victims of success. Welcome to the party, Lions. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We've been here for a while.
That's why a part of me is okay with the Cowboys being bad, because it's like, oh, we're going to play the third team in everyone's division. Like, our schedule's probably going to be cake. But then when we get to the playoffs and have to play a good team, we'll get packed up again. No
Who do we play next season? We play the AFC West, like the Chiefs and them, and then we play the NFC North.
That's not good.
So even if it's third, who's that?
Right.
Packers?
Yeah.
Packers and the...
But even
Broncos?
So, even so, nah, you
thanks.
Play, like we're gonna play every team from those divisions. But then there's like two other, there's two
oh,
more
yeah,
games,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
then we'll
those.
Play the third.
You're
so it's like,
right. you're absolutely right.
Whatever. Yeah. Damn. Damn. Cowboys still suck.
Hey, man.
I always bring it back to that. We suck.
As fans, that's what we always do. We always equate it to our own team in some form or fashion.
But yeah, I guess we got one more game to talk about. That's the game.
That was a hell of a game.
The game. The Ravens versus the Bills.
That was a hell of a game. Like, besides being an Eagles fan and watching the Eagles run their way to the championship, Saquon 205, he should be MVP. I mentioned it. I'm going out on that sword. I don't care. Because if you think about it.
He does look like the most valuable guy in the league. He does.
people want to bring up the Derrick Henrys and all these other guys. Saquon Barkley put the offense on his back. All the dudes that we have on the offense, Saquon Barkley put the team on his back.
Yeah.
And I think he messed up his hand.
He did. He got clapped.
Yeah. Because
he, like, caught a screen, took it for a first down, and got
It was
smacked.
Before that. It was before that. He was asking to get called out. They said, no, stay out there. Yeah. Stay out there. We're no huddling. They gave him the screen, got cracked. So it was like, but no, Saquon for MVP.
Yeah.
Did I send you that? It was like a basically explaining why Lamar is going to be MVP. But the funny thing is that it proved to me that it should be Saquon, because it was basically saying no first team all pro quarterback wasn't the MVP. Mm-hmm. But then the times that the first team quarterback wasn't the MVP, a running back took it. It was Marshall Faulk. Mm-hmm. It was Alexander. It was Tomlinson. And it was AP.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that sound like? Give it to Barkley.
I mean, honestly, if you won MVP, I wouldn't be mad at it. It would make a lot of sense based on
the season.
Yeah, like the season that he had, and also them thinking like, all right, if we give it to Lamar, we have just as much of an argument for Lamar as Josh Allen. And it's like they're both quarterbacks, but they're both like two different sides of the same coin,
mm-hmm.
where it's like Lamar put up crazy stats, not that great of a record. The Bills put up the second best record, but he didn't have that crazy of stats. But he had good stats.
Right. He had crazy games.
Right. He had like moments. Phenomenal moments. Yeah. But like Saquon, it's like, yo, this guy has carried this offense the whole season.
Jump. From Brazil all the way to the link, brother.
Yeah. And then like if... Because I don't think voting has happened yet. So you know they're low-key bringing in playoff success into
these
votes.
They say that it's already done.
Yeah, but I don't believe them.
Because they purposefully moved it back after the – who was it? There was a couple of like back-to-back MVP moments where the MVP was like taken out in the first round or mm-hmm. something like that. And they're like, we can't have this. The MVP can keep getting smoked.
Right.
And so that's when they moved it back. But I might have been around the – No, because at that point we already knew when Matt Ryan won it and when Cam Newton won it. We already knew that they were the MVPs. So, no, it's not that time. But I digress. Yeah, it should be Saquon. I'm still dying on that.
I mean, I'm not mad at it, especially after these last couple games. I'm not mad at it.
What did Derrick Henry do?
Not a whole lot of nothing. Just out there being big. Big and black.
I mean, but we could touch more on that game in general.
Yeah.
Like, I know you mentioned some kind of potential gripe you might have.
Yeah, just a little gripe I have with Lamar. Well, not even Lamar, because obviously I don't know the guy. I'm Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's a dog. But I think a lot of people are talking crazy about Mark Andrews, which, I mean, he deserves that. Like,
The fumble and the drop
are terrible. My thing is, why are people trying to act like Lamar Jackson also didn't screw his team in the first half? Like, his fumble was just as bad. Like, Grant, is it the same moment? No, it's not the same moment as Mark Andrews. However, it led to points.
And it put you in that hole.
Right. It put you, exactly. That's my point. Like, people are trying to say, like, oh, it's all on Mark Andrews. It's like, nah, Lamar Jackson put them in a hole that he tried to then drag them out of, and then Mark Andrews messed up. He almost did, yeah. But then it's like Mark Andrews then screwed up and lost him the game. But it's like if Lamar Jackson doesn't put them in that hole, who's to say they don't blow the Bills out?
It's a different game.
Yeah, completely different game. You don't even put the ball in Mark Andrews' hands to make that mess up. You only have the ball in your best player's hands, Lamar and Derrick Henry. But instead, Lamar Jackson fumbled through that pick, put them down, so now you took Derrick Henry out of the game. There's nothing he can do.
Right. Nah, you're not wrong about that.
I just think, like, they should get equal blame for this. Like, I understand late he drops the two-point conversion that could have tied the game, but who's to say Josh Allen doesn't drive down the field, get a field goal, win the game before the game's over, or go into overtime and turns on Josh Allen and goes off?
Yeah, for sure. But then when it always comes down to just the fact that, like, Mark Andrews did single-handedly not give his team that chance. Like,
I mean,
Lamar threw it right at you, man.
Right.
He threw it right
at
you.
Yeah, the drop was ugly.
It's a bad one.
The drop
Even the announcer
ugly.
Was like, and he caught it. He dropped it. The announcer was like, he lost it.
The drop was ugly.
And, like, you can't throw it any better to him. And even the touchdown that he just threw, Like, that was an excellent pass, bro. He's sitting there in the pocket. Like, then gun, like, oh, my God. I wanted that for Josh Allen as well, though. I wanted that opportunity. Minute 40, whatever.
Right.
Do your thing. Let's see what happens. Like, that would have been a nice way to end it. Instead, we're talking about a drop.
Yeah. And, like, Lamar Jackson is a dog. Like, I think I'm going third best quarterback in the league. Yeah. Top of the head. Third best. I'm going Patrick Mahomes, number one, Josh Allen, and then Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. That's my top four. I don't want to get into five. Yeah, not even going to get into five. That's for another day.
That's for another day. Nico's listening.
Right. So it's like.
Sick bastard.
Yeah, he wants him to be five. But honestly, yo. Or no, he wants Jaden Daniels to be five.
Yeah.
And honestly.
This season.
Calvin, you're not wrong, bro. If I have to say five, it disgusts me to say that a rookie quarterback is number five, but bro, Jaden Daniels might be number five.
This season.
I mean, it's his only season.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to go off of just this season. We're not, you obviously can't give him his career because we don't know what that is yet. Right now,
he is the fifth best quarterback in the league.
And he can technically regress like TJ Stroud, which I was talking to someone. I don't even feel like TJ Stroud really regressed. I feel like we talked about it on the podcast multiple times. They overachieved. And if anything, they regress to the means.
Right.
They are literally ended up in the same exact position they were last season.
Yeah.
Losing to the Chiefs in the second round.
No, yeah, you're not wrong. Like, it's not like, yeah, right. CJ Stroud isn't bad because of the season he had. It's like, oh, this is normal. This is what's supposed to happen. He is a good quarterback, and like, you know, he has some struggles. Like, they're
last
not better
season,
than
he
the
put
Chiefs.
Up crazy numbers, right. And the defense was butt cheek. So now he's in shootouts more often.
Right.
This season, the defense was better. Slightly better run game as well, and your weapons go down.
Right.
So it was a give and take. That's football. It's nuance. Yeah. Like, I wish we would get back to the nuance more so than just the black and white of it all, where it's like, oh, Lamar stinks. He didn't get it done in the playoffs.
Right.
Lamar is nice.
Right.
Gonna be nice.
Right.
You could be nice and lose.
Right.
It happens.
And it's like, if you think about it, bro, he had to go to Buffalo. Buffalo's a wild place to play. Like, Did I text you about it?
Yeah.
And I was like, I would just love to play for Buffalo just because, like, the culture of football, like, it just seems historic. And it seems like Buffalo right now is on, like, this historic run, like the 90s Bills.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're going to four straight Super Bowls, but they're losing, but they're going.
Right.
But, like, Lamar, I think he's great. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen as a talent standpoint.
Legit.
Do I think one day he will get it done? I think so. It's just going to be hard because the AFC is stacked when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, it's going to be hard to get past, what's his face? Patrick Mahomes. But it's like, they said the same thing about Peyton Manning, and eventually he did it.
Yeah.
Like, he got past him. He won one, then eventually won two at the end of his career. But I think Lamar will eventually get there. It's just, he needs to fix his turnover problem in these big games where he's putting his team in a hole. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we don't want to badmouth black quarterbacks, and he's great. I mean? He's the blackest of all black quarterbacks. Like, he's that one. And it's just like, and we live in a society where it's like, everyone just lives in the moment.
Yeah.
So they're just like,
so
Lamar Jackson sucks. He can't get it done.
I hate it.
But then
so
it's like,
much.
Next year, if he gets it done, does he still suck? Or did he just get magically better?
So he sucked before, but now he doesn't suck.
Right.
Or was he always nice and he just lost the game?
Right. Like, that's, to bring it back to the Cowboys, like, I'm always arguing, like, Dak Prescott. People are like, Dak Prescott sucks. I'm like, no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't suck.
Top 15 quarterback.
Easily. And it's like, if you aren't one of these teams that have one of these really good quarterbacks,
you would love
to have Dak Prescott. Like, he sucks, quote unquote, until he wins in the playoffs. And it's like, okay, I understand. You're blaming all this because he loses in the playoffs. What about the defense? What if the defense gives up 40? That's on Dak Prescott? That's his fault? That's on Lamar Jackson? That's his fault? Nah, like, stop putting wins and losses on quarterbacks as if this is baseball in their pitching.
Right.
Like, they don't hold that much power when it comes to wins and losses.
And it's similar to what I had with my beef with Kellen Moore and our offense in general. These dudes spend an entire week going into Sunday. And so, obviously, the quarterback needs to make the plays. But there's more to it. Like, what was the game plan this week?
Right.
Did we just put in a bunch of BS in the game plan and now I'm trying to execute BS? Or did we actually, like, put in some masterful stuff,
right.
And now we're actually executing some really good things that we, you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, football is so nuanced that I wish we got back more to the nuance, but since it's just a talking head society, reaction society, what have you done for me lately society?
Right.
That's just what it is. Even though certain people get a pass, like, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, for example, Joe Burrow is one of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the league,
mm-hmm.
but he still gets that pass for losing to Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Jalen Hurts lost to Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He doesn't get no pass because he doesn't get it done on a week-to-week basis. But we can be realistic about people, like
right.
what they are. Like again, we mentioned Jalen Hurts is a limited quarterback. Joe Burrow is a nice quarterback. But we're not going to just continue to just allow him to, oh, well, this defense wasn't good enough and da-da-da-da.
Right.
Again, all of it's always nuanced. Let's get into the minutiae rather than just, oh, cut and dry, black and white, wins yeah. and losses.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm over it.
I'm over
That's
it.
That's why I don't really talk to people as much about sports.
Facts. The amount of comments that I type out in a race is insane.
Insane.
Because I'm just like, there's no point in even having this argument, bro. Engage. Like, you're so locked into this moment. Like, someone's opinion about a player will change throughout the game.
Right.
Like, if they have a bad first quarter, oh, this guy sucks. And then they have a really good second half. They're like, yo, he's amazing. He's the best quarterback in the league. And it's like, yo, 20 minutes? I've read your post. Like, your post changed. Like,
I see that. I got the receipt.
Right. I screenshotted it, actually, because I knew you would do this.
Oh,
yeah, nah. It's people just, I don't know. They want everyone to be Tom Brady, but, like, right now, in the moment, they have to be the best player in the world right now. And it's like, bro, give it time, man.
I think a issue is the people. And with I mean the people, I mean like us. We just want to be right.
Right.
And we'd rather be right than to change our opinion and or correct ourselves or admit that we were wrong.
Right.
And so it's like, I feel like there's a certain aspect of that going on in the Eagles fandom where it's like some Eagles fans would rather, like, Jalen Hurts goes out there, we lose the game, he stinks an egg, and right. so they can say, look, I showed you, I told right. you, he's not good enough.
Yeah.
Rather than him going out there stinking and us winning the game, because now you can't point it out that he stinks. People are going to tell you to shut up because we right. won the game. And so, it's the minutiae of the conversation of it all. It's loaded.
Yeah.
It's loaded. But that's why we're here, because we love the conversation.
Exactly.
In controlled environments.
Quite literally.
Because I try to occasionally engage on social media, but like tone gets lost, and like we mentioned, people will find like one thing you said and all of a sudden that's what we're talking about. No, everything else I said was the point. I just use that as an example or whatever yeah. the case may be. Like, I have a group chat with some of my old roommates that were or college roommates that were both Rams fans, and then my other roommate, we were Eagles fans, so it's 2 Rams, 2 Eagles. What are the odds? During the game, we were cool, kosher, you know, you talk your little friendly banter. After the game, you're like, yo, this was a fire game, da 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 da.
Right.
The next day, you would think, like, it's like, what are we talking about? One of my boys is talking about, yo, how many Super Bowls y'all got? No, you didn't just do that, bro. No, you like, didn't just do
such
that.
Such a corny argument.
I hate it so much. And it boils. It just grinds my gears. But whenever it gets brought up, it just, ugh.
And, like, I'm a Cowboys fan, and that is the Cowboys fan nation's biggest thing. How many Super Bowls do you have? And it's like, what are you talking about? We won 5. Like, the last one we won was almost 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, what are we arguing about?
Can we stay in the moment?
Right. When we went to the Cowboys-Ravens game, there was a Cowboys fan arguing with Ravens fans, like, towards it. When we're getting blown out, he's arguing with them. He's like, how many Super Bowls y'all got? How many Super Bowls y'all got? And, like, I just, like, kind of look over to him, and I'm like, yo, they've had 2 since they've existed. We've had none since then. Like, what are we arguing about?
We argue.
Like what are we talking about, bro? Like, it's such a dumb argument. Only thing that matters is this season. Right. Last season does not matter. If a Chiefs fan came up to me, if the Chiefs lose this weekend and they say, well, we won the Super Bowl last year, who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
You just lost the game.
Right. You just lost.
You can take it in stride. It's fine.
Right. Just be like, we'll come back next year.
You know,
try again.
You can bring up the facts of the game, or it's like, damn, if we would have got that third down, if we would have da-da-da-da-da. But in the end, you just got to say, we lost the game.
Lost.
Because that's football.
Yeah.
That's sports.
Yeah.
But we can't talk sports anymore like that, because it's just about the championships and things of that nature. Like, it's been brought up amongst my friend groups a lot, where it's like, everything is just so Did you win a chip? No, you stuck. Your season was trash. It's like, no, we can delve deeper into it. You can have good seasons and not win the chip. Right. One team wins the chip in every sport every year.
Right.
But
it's like, did this season propel us in the direction to win a championship? That is a good season.
Right.
If it didn't, then it was a bad season.
If anything, it should always be measured more so to like expectations.
Right.
Like if
Did you exceed or not exceed expectations?
Yeah.
Right.
And then even if you lose, your expectation could have been to win, but how did, you know what I'm saying? How did it all end? Like, what did it look like? Did you get there in the way that you wanted to? Things of that nature. Like, not to, like, cop out or anything. If the Eagles lose this week, I'm not going to look at it as a bad season. I'm going to be, obviously, pissed for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a month, who knows? Mm-hmm. But in the end, I'll be like, you know, this was a good season. We made it to the NFC Championship when everyone was writing us off in week four. When we got smoked by the Bucks, and it was like, oh, it's the same old Eagles. Well, now we're about to potentially go to the Super Bowl. Win or lose, we're at one of the last four. So you got to look at it as a good season. Same thing with the Commanders. They over-exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
They lose that game, what are you going to... Oh, the Commanders stink.
Right. Like, even if they went out there and the Eagles put up 60 and they blow them out, people will be like, oh, the Commanders are frauds.
They shouldn't have been here anyway.
Right. And it's like, no, you're right. They shouldn't have been here. Like, but they are here because they managed to beat the best team in football to get here.
Kudos.
Like, I don't know, man. People are
interesting
weird.
Characters.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. When it comes to sports.
Yeah.
And then just arguing with them over stupid stuff. Like.
Like I said, I'm real selective with my in-person discussions.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. Like, there's definitely, like, certain conversations, like football, like, I don't even delve into anymore. It's just like, what? Like, there was a post. You remember Anthony Lynn? He was the head coach of the Chargers a few years ago.
Yep.
Black dude.
Yep.
So the Cowboys were thinking about interviewing him. He's a running back coach for someone. I forget who. Commanders. He's a running back coach for the Commanders right now. And there was a post, and I look in the comments, and it's all Cowboys fans because it's a Cowboys page. And they're just like, are you serious? We're interviewing a running back coach for the head coaching job? Like, what are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. And, like, it just proved my point that it's like, yo, so many fans have no idea what they're talking about. Like, this man was a head coach a few years ago. He's not just some random running back coach. He was a head coach and relatively successful head coach. Like,
kind of got juked.
Right. Like, he had one bad season. They were just like, yeah, we're done. Like, we're done with you. We're moving on. And then that coach was awful. Who was Brandon Staley? Well, no. Was,
yeah.
Was that him?
I think it was the Staley.
Yeah, that was awful. And now they got Harbaugh. And it's like, oh, everything worked out. But it's like, clearly, 90% of fans have no clue what they're talking about. And I mean, I can respect it because it's like you probably have other things in life that get your attention. You might have kids, you have a job, you have all these things. We think about football constantly. So it's like football is part of our personality. I was telling one of my coworkers today, the other day, he was like, hey, did you watch the playoff games? I just looked at him like, of course. I was like, football is my personality. Like, I live and breathe football. That's all I care about. Like, we can sit here. If you want to talk about football, we can talk about football. Right. Like, I'll talk for hours. Right. Like,
I'm constantly gauging, like, how deep can I get with you?
Right.
Pause.
Right. Yeah, right. It's like, how far can we go?
Right.
Like,
I had that situation this past week. I was on a post with a coworker that I haven't worked with before. But I worked with him once, and we've talked minor football here and there. But I think he remembered that we talked football, so we spun back. And now all of a sudden, half the time we're at work, we're talking this, talking that. Yep. He was the one that we were talking about, the Giants, and he's a Patriots fan. He had a pretty, like, even-keel assessment of where they're at and things of that nature. So I'm like, all right, this was smooth. I'm glad we actually had this conversation.
And that's honestly, that's tough. Like, living in New England, to find a legitimate, like, find a Patriots fan where it's like, oh, you know ball. Like,
yes.
You know football, and you're not just going to be like, oh, we suck. Like, we should fire Gerard Mayo because we suck now, and we'll never, like, bro, you're just saying that because Tom Brady's not walking through that door. Yeah. Like, you're supposed to suck.
But he said, Vrabel is an excellent hire. Like,
he is.
Congrats. That's a good pickup.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably the best one to have on the market.
They just picked up Josh McDaniels to be their OC, too.
Josh McDaniels?
Yeah.
Really?
He's back.
So, Caleb? Oh, no, I'm not Caleb.
Drake May. Yeah. Patriots might. They have the most cap space. They have a high draft pick. They brought their guy back at offensive coordinator. They have a good head coach. Patriots could be back.
You just seen what the Commanders did.
Yeah.
Like, the Commanders low-key can change the entire conversation of, like, how you go about building your team and
things of
that nature. That's how it always works. Whoever wins the Super Bowl, teams are always looking at it like, what did they just do?
Right. How can we do that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and, if you, but them, bro, they brought in like 23 free agents.
Yeah.
Like they really flipped the entire roster over and then they hit on their draft picks.
Straight Deion Sanders in Colorado walked in and said, just transfer. Just get out. We fill in your spot.
Legit. So it can happen. That's the beauty of football, though. Like basketball, it can't happen.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen in basketball. You need legitimate stars in basketball.
That's the problem. You need legitimate stars. Yeah. Like in football, you can be the sum of your collective. In basketball, you need guys.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's only 15 on the roster.
Right. It's because so, football is the ultimate team sport.
We say like, it so much on this podcast.
You need everyone to do their job, and you need everyone to buy in. Where it's like in basketball, yo, Kobe and Shaq hated each other.
1-2.
Could not stand each other. They won 3. Like, crazy. Couldn't stand each other, but they won. Because it simply just, they were unstoppable. Like,
throw the ball up and get it going.
Nobody can stop this gigantic black man, and no one can stop this guy with an afro.
That's why I said, like in football, you're spending the entire week for one day.
Right.
That's like, I'm not even going to quantify it, but 12 hours a day for 6 days to get to this one day. Basketball, again, you just throw the ball in and like, let's get it.
Roll the ball out there and be like, go play.
Oh, you can shoot? Bet, shoot that.
Right.
Oh, you're big and black? Dunk it.
Right. Pretty much. Like, yo, just don't let the guy in front of you score. Oh, you let him score? That's okay. You go score now.
We have more opportunities.
Right. Literally. Like, it's just back and forth. Oh, you got a turnover? That's okay.
All right, just get back.
You'll get the ball back in 2 seconds.
Follow your shot.
Right. Yeah.
Nah, but like you said, people watch football and not everyone actually knows what they're watching. And that's even with the announcers. Like, there's times where I'm listening to announcers and I'm like, what you just said was completely wrong. I'm saying this to myself because no one can hear me.
Right.
But you're misdirecting people now because now people are going to go online talking about da-da-da-da. The announcer even said, well, he was wrong.
Right.
And you don't know that he was wrong.
Right. It's like, oh, you just believe him because they're an announcer. Like, so many people like will be like, oh, I hate Tony Romo as an announcer. And it's like, why? Like, I feel like
I don't mind Romo.
Yeah, I feel like he's a great announcer. Like, he's out there predicting plays. He's out there telling you what should happen, what didn't happen.
Yeah, solid excitement.
Right. Like, but then
he draws on the board.
Right. And there's like Greg Olsen. And it's just like, I don't believe anything you're saying, Greg Olsen.
Greg isn't bad. Like I said, but that game against the Redskins, he was awful. Very few announcers have been as awful as I remember as Greg that day, bro. Because just so many times he said things that were just wrong. Like, how did you see that play and say that out of your mouth?
Right.
And now people are going to believe you.
Right. Right. And now they're like, I know football. Greg Olsen said.
Right. I seen it. He agrees with me. No, you're both wrong.
Does Gregory agree with you? No.
So, who knows, man.
But yeah, let's jump into this week.
All right. Yeah. Good stuff.
I guess.
We can start with the other guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Even though y'all play first.
But they're the other guys.
We all know.
This is an Eagles podcast.
Right. As of right now.
This is the NFC East podcast.
So, yeah, we got Chiefs and Bills. Chiefs are home. They're also 1.5-point favorites.
Interesting. That's not that big of a spread.
Nah. They expect this to be a very close game. And honestly, I do too. I expect it to be very close.
Off the top of my head...
Yeah, usually we do like prep and like we'll have like nothing. We just pulled up and said, let's get it.
Literally. Like we woke up this morning. I hit him like, hey, we podding?
Right. And I was like, I'll email him, see if it's open. Walked in, sat down, say, hey, what's good? How you been? All right, press record.
Pushy button. Here we are. Hour and 3 minutes later.
Right. We have like a 10-15 minute conversation before the show. Nothing. We're just raw dogging this.
Yeah, man. But here we are. My initial thought is the Bills seem like a team that's been building towards this moment, this particular moment, a chance to go to the stinking bowl, exercise some demons, the biggest demon you've been dealing with, Mahomes.
Word.
And so I feel like typically quarterbacks have a chance to get over the hump, like you mentioned with Peyton Manning. At some point, he had to beat Tom Brady.
Right.
And he did. It was a good game. I remember that game. And so is this that moment? My initial thought is no.
I didn't know where he's going with it.
It's yes, because like just watching and watching, but I still got to think about my initial thoughts of the NFL season going into it, and here we are. It literally mapped out exactly, as far as the Chiefs are concerned,
right?
Mapped out exactly how we called it. And so as much as I look at the Bills and I'm like, damn, this might be it, man. Exercise those demons. Do your thing. You're such a scrappy bunch, Bills Mafia. It's still Mahomes and stinking Ed Reed and Andy Reid. And so I'm going to go Chiefs money line.
Chiefs money line.
It's not a bad bet. Never a bad
bet. Nah, it's not a bad bet at all. It's honestly, it's minus 125, so it's like.
You might as well just actually do the cover.
I mean, the cover is minus 115. Like, it ain't that much better. It's like, you might as well just take the money line if that's how you think it's going to go, which honestly, personally, for me, I think the Chiefs do win that game. Do I like Chiefs money line, though? Everything you said, I believe is spot on. I think the Bills are going to go in there and they want blood. They are going to want it more than the Chiefs, but unfortunately, the Chiefs are just. They're just not going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, this isn't Josh Allen's time. He needs to struggle a little bit more.
I mean, like, not to go backwards too far, but, like, I was watching the game with my with Aunt Christie, and we were watching the Ravens, and I'm just like, the Ravens look like they don't got no juice. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Bills, and they are juiced, and he was like, nah, sometimes you could go out there and just handle your business, silent assassin. I'm like, yeah. And sometimes you need to see people that got juice. And I'm like, no one on the Ravens had juice.
Yeah.
And so that's why part of me still remembers the Bills just juiced up. Mm-hmm. And so part of me thinks they can potentially go in there off the same juice.
Yeah.
But it's the Chiefs, man. Nothing tells me otherwise that the Chiefs are going to lose.
Yeah, no. Like, it's just
everyone's healthy enough. The line's pretty decent slash because they moved one of their guards to, like, tackle, and it's been excellent ever since. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah, I'm a go Chiefs money line as well. I was thinking about Bills and like some points, but like
plus
I would,
or something,
yeah, like I would have to do plus 10, but it's like that's not even worth the bet. Mm-hmm. You're gonna bet $10 and make 12. Like it's not worth your time. So honestly, yeah, I like Chiefs money line. I think the Chiefs win. Over under in that game is 47.5. I think this game has shootout written all over it, but I think that's exactly what won't happen.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I don't know why 47.5 screamed pump it up and put the over. Yeah. I hit the under.
I'm definitely going to bump it up to like 55.5 and take the under. I think coming into the game, it's like, oh yeah, Josh Allen's about to go crazy. I remember, was it last playoffs or the playoffs before when they just went nuts back and forth, and it was crazy. And then the Chiefs ended up winning in overtime or like right before Yeah, it was in overtime because then they changed the rule. Because
of that.
Because they changed, like, yeah, because they were complaining about it. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be too many points. I think it'll probably end like 23-17 Chiefs. So, yeah, I'm taking 55.5 in the under. Fa.
Now, I hear that. I'm going to keep a little more money on that. I'm going to go with 51.5 in the under.
See, that was honestly my very first thought, but I was like, bumping it up four just feels
super safe.
Yeah.
Like just in case the field goals here and there.
Right. Yeah, but it's definitely, I think, is going to be a phenomenal game, and I'm truly super excited to watch it. Would I love to see the Bills in the Super Bowl? I think most people would, outside of like AFC East fans that aren't Bills fans. I would love to see Josh Allen go crazy in the Super Bowl. I'd love to see him win a Super Bowl. Just because, like, I'm such
change up the narrative as well.
Yeah, and I'm such a historian of the game that I would love to see the Bills win a Super Bowl. Right. Like, it's like seeing the Lions win a Super Bowl. It's like I want to see that.
Right.
I just don't think this is the year, unfortunately. I think that three-peat is...
loading.
Yeah, it's pretty set in stone, I think.
Good thing that Eagles era's message is...
I mean, on your side, I'm sure that's what you hope for. I think that three-peat is loading. I think it's going to happen. I think they've been talking about it so much because it hasn't happened in such a long time, and they're trying to kind of push that narrative of like Patrick Mahomes is the next Tom Brady, is the next.
Hasn't it never happened? Three-peat in NFL?
I don't think so. I don't think it's ever happened. Yeah. So I think when Patrick Mahomes does it, it's going to be like, well, Tom Brady's never won three in a row. he just won three in a row. Is he the best? And then Tom Brady fans are going to be like, well, he lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to come in and say he lost to the defense because Tom Brady doesn't play defense. And Tom Brady didn't have a great game that day, but their defense did. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, man, that's why quarterback wins and losses is not a thing.
Exactly. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world.
We already touched on it, the whole baseball conspiracy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I hear you. I hear a lot of what you're saying, man. I wouldn't mind seeing the Bills make it either. Just, again, to just change up the conversation. But, I mean, people, not to go too deep or go off too tangenty, with, like, people saying that they're helping out the Chiefs. I think the NFL realizes good publicity, bad publicity, it's all, and if you're going to be talked about regardless.
Right.
And so whether they are helping the Chiefs to accomplish something we've never seen, which I think they are, then
it's unfortunate it has to come at your your expense.
Yeah, as fans, that's what sucks. As fans, you feel like you're being gypped.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah, no.
It's entertainment.
Like, it just, honestly, like, when you really think about, like, when I think about Michael Jordan, the NBA 100% pushed the narrative that Michael Jordan is the best basketball player ever. They changed rules to make it easier for him. They set things up to make it easier for him. They put his face everywhere.
Bucks.
Yeah, like, they did so many things that is proven. So all you Michael Jordan fans out there, it is proven that they 100% set up a narrative for him to be the greatest basketball player ever. So it's like, why wouldn't they do that for Tom Brady? Where I think they did. Like, when you look at it, it's like, yo, they changed a bunch of rules, and they made it so you can't hit quarterbacks to keep him healthy, to keep him on the field. And there are a lot of tuck rules and a lot of different calls that were like Deflategate. It's like, something seems a little fishy here. How do the Patriots just keep winning? Now I feel like it's kind of like the Chiefs. You can't turn your TV on and not see Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift, Andy Reid. Like, how many head coaches are in commercials?
I love Andy Reid commercials. I can't.
No,
even
I
lie.
Do too.
He's
like,
hilarious.
Bundle Ruski.
You say it now,
right?
I'm not gonna say that.
it's great television, but it's like, yo, why are they always on TV? Like, what narrative are we pushing?
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a hand in hand thing between Vegas, the NFL, and the Chiefs.
Right.
It's like, hey, we need you in commercials. You guys are gonna win some games. It's gonna be a lot of controversy on you.
Yeah.
But in the end, everybody wins.
Except the Eagles.
That's why we gotta play the bad guy, man.
Yeah.
We gotta play the bad guy. Everybody hates us and we don't care.
And it's like, y'all might be that team that's like that team that just keeps going against them and keeps going against them.
We went against the Patriots. We were that team for the Patriots.
Right. That's what I mean. And like, so, and eventually, like, you do get that dub.
It's gotta be us, bro. It's history loves to repeat itself.
Yeah.
And so here we are, ready and raring to go to repeat itself. I mean, we might as well touch on that game.
Yeah, let's go. Eagles, Commanders. Eagles are home and are 6-point favorites.
That went up. It was originally like 5.5.
Yeah.
So
I believe this just got updated like a few minutes ago, actually. Like an hour ago, it got updated. So yeah, at the moment, they are 6-point favorites. I'll start you off because I'm sure you want to get your last word with your Eagles. This is tough for me because all year I've been screaming, Commanders are not the real deal. And I've been wrong. So, like, even like to this moment, I'm like, bro, Eagles about to go out there and smack these dudes, man. Eagles are such a better team. But it's like, I feel like the Commanders kind of have that chip on their shoulder where they're like, yo, what do we have to lose? We are not supposed to be here. Like, this transition was not supposed to happen this fast, but it happened this fast. Why not us? And since it's already 6, I don't mind bumping it up. So I'm going to go Commanders, and they beat y'all. Was it in Philly? No,
it
was in
Washington. No, it was in Washington.
I'm going to go Commanders plus 10.5. But I do think the Eagles win this game. I just think Jaden Daniels either keeps it close or he's able to have a little late run, like garbage time, put up some points.
Cover some
coverage. Yeah, to cover 10.5.
I hear that. Where do I start? I mean, I'm going to shout out my boy Will again. Like, we've been talking all season about the Commanders, Eagles. We joked, like, three or two weeks when they made the playoffs, like when they beat the Falcons to like lock in the playoff seating or lock in the playoffs in general. I'm like, wouldn't it be crazy if we both went to the NFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl? And we laughed and it was like, haha, now look at us. Like, right. It's crazy. But as an Eagles fan, straight up and down, I'm nervous. Eagles fans know Redskins games have been weird as hell for like 4 years running. And so that doesn't change. If anything, it just adds an extra layer of weirdness because it's for all the stinking marbles. And so
all the marbles.
The question becomes, does Jaden Daniels flinch? I think that's what it comes down to. If he doesn't flinch, he probably finds a way to pull it out. If he flinches, we'll win it. And so my fandom says, I like your cover, 10.5. I'd put money on that. My football fandom, my Eagles fandom.
To the moon.
Money line that, John. Eagles are going to the stinking Super Bowl. Spoke it into existence. I'm not changing it now. Here we go, baby. Eagles money line.
So you got Eagles money line?
Yes, sir.
I'm not mad at it. It's a good bet. We got what? It's -285. I'm sure +10.5 is around that same odds.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, I'm not mad at it.
I'm nervous as hell.
Yo, that honestly, I would be too.
I'm nervous as hell.
Oh man, I'd be shaking in my boots. There's something about that Commanders team.
It starts with Jalen Hurts in the knee. That's the initial concern, and everything stems from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun Sunday.
Yeah, man, Sunday. I have a stinking flag football playoff marathon that day.
They better be over by the time the game starts.
I'm sick. The game started at like 6:30, I think, and it's in Amherst, so it's like a 45-minute drive.
Wait, like 6:30 in the morning or at p.m.?
Night flag games.
Oh, okay. So you're probably going to miss the Chiefs-Bills game.
Yeah.
I'm missing my flag game. missing that. I'm like, nah,
this is epic football.
Why not? I think, I don't know. That's tough. That's a tough decision.
That's tough, man.
I don't know. Because, like, obviously, I'm not a Chiefs fan, not a Bills fan, but it's like.
I love football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see it.
I'm sure somebody's going to, like, pull it up on their phone or something.
Bro, so I went to our flag game when we played the Packers in the playoffs. I tried to keep my AirPod in and have the phone on the sideline. It didn't work at all. And so.
Anytime somebody ran a deep route on you, you're like, chill, I'm out of zone.
As I got on the field, I could slowly hear the earphone just disconnecting.
Uh-huh.
And so it was super discouraging. I didn't know how the game was going at all.
Nah,
I'm in the huddle sitting like, damn, I hope we close this game. I would hate for someone to tell me we lost.
I would have put my phone in my compressions or something.
I should have.
I thought about
after the fact.
Uh-huh. But yeah, over under in that game is 47.5. I'm bumping it down. I'm going 41.5 and taking the over. I think y'all put up points. I think the Commanders put up points. I think this is going to be the shootout of Sunday where everyone thinks the Chiefs-Bills will be the shootout.
I hear that.
Even though y'all have the number one defense, I just think in the NFL nowadays, it's harder to play defense. Like, even when you have the number one defense,
you're still giving up 200 and something yards.
Right. You're still giving up points. You're still giving up yards. So,
still giving up plays. And so, Quinyon Mitchell's banged up. That's not ideal.
He was talking a little spicy to Puka. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
I was like, that's disappointing.
That's unfortunate. He was ready to lock up because that's what he does. Eagles defense, baby. Eagles stinking defense. Jalen Carter, best player in the NFL.
Yo. Saquon, MVP. Defensive player of the year, Jalen Carter. Offensive player of the year, A.J. Brown.
Bro, I seen Jalen Carter get his first holding penalty in the last game.
That's crazy. Just
think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You think this was the first time he's ever been held?
Right. Nah, I'd really be like that. I remember.
Bro, he has this arm over move that is just unguardable. Because once he arms overs, you're not stopping him.
Because
first he hits you with the crossover, and then he arm overs you. So it's like, D linemen aren't doing that.
Right.
D linemen are usually bull rush, pin pull, or push rip. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hand fighting. I remember it was the swim over.
That was a thing with Micah Parsons last year. I remember they were like counting the weeks, like since he got a holding call. Like, it was like 12.
I remember that too. Yeah. Because he never gets holding calls. Yeah. I remember watching a lot of Cowboys games like, damn, this dude is getting held.
Every play. Like, him, Myles Garrett, Jalen Carter, TJ Watt get held every single play.
Yeah.
Like,
which is part of me is like, you know, you can't call them all the time.
Right.
But you need to call some of them.
Nah,
because that's the respect of it. You got to call some of them.
And when you talk to offensive linemen, they legit say, like, granted, I've never talked to an NFL offensive lineman, but, like, offensive linemen from, like, semi-pro or whatever, whatever, they're just like, yeah, I hold every play because they're not going to call it every play. Like, right. They might call it once or twice, but there's 60 plays in a game.
Right. I think it took Jalen Carter to get, you know, the Pro Bowl nod and the second team All-Pro nod because it's like, all right, kid.
Right.
I will give you the respect. Because before, you were just highly touted, doing your thing, whatever. Right. But now you're actually an All-Pro. We got to give you some kind of call.
Right.
And so, like I said, shout out Jalen Carter. Shout out Nolan Smith. Shout out the Eagles D-line.
Mm-hmm.
They got to carry it for us because we stink at guarding mobile quarterbacks for as long as I can remember. Like, I can remember back to Mariota torching us up and Cam Newton doing us dirty and Tyrod Taylor and the freaking Vikings put a receiver at quarterback once in Taurus. So
I remember that. I remember
so
that.
So, yes, mobile quarterbacks, I have, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Trauma?
PSD, trauma, yeah. All that. Like, and Jaden Daniels, the first game we played him, we held him to 20 yards. Second game we played him, he ran for 80. That is literally the key to the game.
Containing him.
Containing him. Like, on the run. Like, he's going to throw. He's going to probably throw for, like, 200, 250.
Right.
Probably get, like, three tutters. Just, this is how he gives it up. We need to get a pick, and we need to keep him under his rushing yards.
Yeah.
Key to the game.
And get Saquon off.
We need to. And I think we will because the Redskins' run defense, it stinks.
Yeah.
Gibbs went off.
Yeah.
And if the game wasn't out of hand, he would have went crazier.
Yep.
So it's on the Eagles to keep the game. Like you said, it was similar to what Lamar did against Henry. Not allowing him to be a part of the game still. Jalen Hurts cannot allow the game to get out of the hands where Barkley cannot still do his thing.
Exactly. Yeah, if it comes down to if y'all turn the ball over, y'all can lose that game. If y'all protect the ball, y'all win the game easily.
Easily.
But when you play a team like the Commanders and you give
too
up a pick or a fumble or a pick six or a scoop and score – like, you put yourself behind. Because now it's like Jaden Daniels is going to put
too
up
many opportunities.
Right. He's going to put up points on his own. So if you get points to the defense, that's what happened to the Lions.
Yep.
Threw a pick six, and it's like, oh, my God, we're behind now. And it's like, Jaden Daniels is like, you're not coming back.
Yep.
Like,
if they get ball first, we come out with three and out, and they score again, that's dark.
Yeah.
That's not the position we need to be in. So, it's going to be interesting drama, for
I hear the stress.
It's real. It is real. Like, every day we inch closer, I get more stressed.
Yeah, I bet. I can't wait for Sunday, man. It's going to be such a great
It's crazy. Like you said, we live football. And breathe football, but it's like, it's crazy how much it actually dictates our moods.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm going to be super annoyed on Monday. Probably not a joy to be around on Monday.
If y'all lose.
If we lose.
Yeah.
If we win, y'all know where to find me, baby.
Nah, for real. It's going to be a long 2-week wait to that Super Bowl.
Word. So I would say we could help you with your parlays this week, but be honest with you, my parlay record this year in football was god-awful.
Yeah, it was rough. Did I hit a parlay this weekend?
I think you did send me something. You cashed out.
I did. I hit some, right? Yes. Oh, okay. I cashed out. I would have lost if I didn't cash out, but I took the Chiefs, Commanders, and Eagles, and the Ravens. And I was like, as soon as I only took the Ravens because I think they gave me the best like payout other than the Bills. I was cashing out no matter what if I hit those first three games.
Right.
So I was just like, let's get the biggest potential payout. And then once the Eagles won, cashed out.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I had two really awful beats. The first one, Jameson Williams, needed him to get 40 yards. Mm. The boy got 19.
Dang.
And then it's actually a double bad beat in that particular beat because I accidentally put the same bet in twice because I was trying to take advantage of the live bet profit boost. And it didn't pop up, but I already put the bet in. And so now I did the same bet again, but with the profit boost. I should have maneuvered some things.
Right.
That's my mistake. Awful, just wasting money at that point. And then the second bad beat was stinking Jaden Daniels. I bet Jaden Daniels to throw for 100 yards in each half.
Oh, yeah, I remember that you were talking
about. So think about that.
The man threw for 250 in the first half and threw for 65 yards in the second.
Crazy.
Broke my heart. Parlay blown up. Four-legger with the game specials. I'm about to start doing those a lot more next season. Stay in tune for that. I think I might have figured something out.
Okay. Okay. I see you.
Parlaying the game specials.
I had a parlay on the Eagles game that I ended up – I would have lost anyway, but it was just like how it all went down. I had Saquon for 100-plus yards. He got that. Had Saquon for 2 touchdowns. He ended up getting that. But the thing was, he got that second touchdown late in the game. So I had – it was like Eagle – it was like the over or the under. I had the under – I bumped it up, took the under, and then the Eagles to win money line, Saquon over 100, Saquon 2 touchdowns. I'm like, all right, the Eagles are going to win. That's the money line. I said, they're not putting up too many points, so I'm going to get this under. And then Saquon got his touchdown early, and I was like, when he they called a touchdown, but he was actually short by like a couple inches, I was like, well, there goes that parlay, cashed out. Then he breaks that big touchdown run, and I'm like, no, I cashed out. What was I thinking? But eventually they ended up scoring too many points and they went over. Mm-hmm. So I would have lost anyway, so I'm glad I cashed out when I cashed out. But I was like, man, if I would have just waited for them 2 touchdowns, I would have been a much better cash out.
Yeah. I should have cashed out on that Jaden Daniels situation because it was a four-legger. All the other 3 legs hit, mm-hmm. and I was just waiting for that one. Or no, was that the situation? Yeah, because then in the second half, I'm sitting there like, people are like, cash it out, cash it out. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to wait. Mm-hmm. And I should have cashed it out.
Yeah.
That's the life. I don't even get cash outs that often. That's even more reason why I should have cashed it out.
Yeah. I think my big thing now is like, I'm going to have a number. And that number is going to be whatever it is. Let's say the total bet, if I win, you get $150. And I'm like, you know what? My number is 75. If I get to 75, I'm cashing out. I don't care. That's going to be my new thing. Because I'm tired of waiting, and then that last leg, it's just like, nah, you didn't win. And it's like, nah, I'm just going to take the money you give me.
Right.
Whatever you're willing to give me. And then if it does hit and I missed out on the other 75, hey, it is what it is. At least I left with 75.
Right. Like, I'm plus whatever now.
Right. I'm still up.
Yeah, for sure. Got to learn. We got to learn from these parlays.
Yeah.
Got to stop just giving them our money.
Right. And this was truly like my first, like I've always, like ever since like in Massachusetts it became legal to do sports betting like on your phone and whatnot, I've been doing it, but like I haven't done it this consistently because of like the pod made me do it more consistently where it's every week. It's like, you know what? I'm going to put in a bet. So I think like over time, like just getting better and better, like starting to notice patterns and everything. And
right.
We only up from here.
Let me ask you a quick question. How do you feel about people charging for their picks?
I don't like it.
I hate it. I
don't like it. Like, if you're for the people, be for the people.
Right.
Don't be like, oh, give me $20 and I'll tell you.
For a subscription.
Right, for a subscription, so I'll tell you what to bet on.
It's whack.
I'll go online.
Right.
Go online and be like, Twitter. What are they picking? Okay, I'll pick. That's the exact same thing.
I hate it. For example, shout out Mookie. Mookie does it. I like how he does it. For example, he has a little, what is it, What's the app called? Let me look it up real quick. Bad potting. Telegram. He has a Telegram, mm-hmm. bunch of people in it. And he basically just says, if we hit, just send me $20. And so if you have over 60, 70, 80 people in there and you hit enough times, and obviously everyone's not going to do it because everyone's not, you know, cool like that.
People are scumbags.
But if that's the thing, if you actually hit, which he was, I mean, I'm not in the Telegram as much right now because I'm just not betting like that as much. But when he was hitting, I sent him like $40. I'm like, yo, I hit for like 150.
Right.
So here's 40. I'm up 100. You know what I'm saying? It's good bread. And so I think if you give it good energy to the world, it should come back.
Right.
You're sitting there charging people for picks that you're not guaranteed to hit your damn self.
Exactly. And it's like, yo, you're
not. And he says that. Mook says it. Like, yo, I'm not guaranteed to hit this, so I'm not charging you to we all lose.
And it's like, you're not even a professional. You're just a dude that bets. that's like us charging people to listen to the pod. They'd be like, nah, you got to pay us to listen to our podcast to get our picks.
Yeah. Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Right. OnlyPicks.
OnlyPicks, son.
Yeah, nah. Sunday Spreads does sound like an OnlyFans account, though. Now that I think about it, sounds a little crazy.
Hey, we might have to dip our toe into that market.
Start going overseas, get my Sunday spreads
that's
on.
That's on you, brother. I am happily married.
Yeah, good, good, good. Yes. Two ends of the spectrum.
Right. Complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But hey, and then we meet in the middle, and we bros, and we make bets, and that's, everybody eats.
That's life-lifing.
Life is life-ing.
Full circle.
Know what I mean? But yeah, on that note, I think we out, man.
All right. Keep it tight.
Keep it tight.